But you can't help but watch the clip and be touched by his desire to just reach one more person, to save one more person. True story, Schindler's List is the movie, and it's a tough movie to watch, mainly because anything that has to do with World War II and concentration camps are difficult. But what I love about the movie is just his passion to reach one more person. And this passage we're looking at this morning in Ephesians chapter 3, verses 1 through 13, I've called just one more. As the church, and when I use the word church, as the church, we have to understand that we're never there, that there's only always one more kid, there's always one more teenager, there's always one more adult that we have to reach out with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And it's not my responsibility alone, it's everybody's responsibility. Just this weekend has been one of those weekends. This week has been one of those weeks, but just this weekend, two people in my church in St. Louis, Missouri, both of them younger than me, are dying of cancer. One of them went on and Facebook, and he's a guy named Britt Rose, and he basically told his friends on Facebook that he's in the last stages of his cancer treatment. It was very, very sad, except for the fact he's been reached with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Just yesterday, I got contacted by one of my cousins about one of my dad's first cousins who was in the ice cream business like my dad, had passed away after a battle with dementia and Parkinson's. Just this morning, I walk into the church and I'm told that Wilma Ferguson had passed away in the night. I got a call at 5:58 this morning from Shirley Qualls saying that Irby is now on hospice. And I mean, it just seems like it grows and grows and grows. Except in those situations, I know their story. I know they're safe. But you never can quit trying to reach one more person. And I think we forget that as a church. One more person. Just this week, I know Norman lost their mayor, and Piper, a little girl, is seriously injured. Is that correct, Shauna? Is that the little girl? And you know, I don't know their condition spiritually speaking and all that. But what I want you to come away with this morning is, you need to have that attitude, just one more person. Just one more person. If you teach a Sunday school class, one more kid, one more teenager, one more adult, you never can lose that. In Ephesians chapter 3, verses 1 through 13, you're going to see that Paul's saying that God gave him the incredible ministry of reaching the Gentiles. Paul was a Jew. And if you'll remember last week we looked at Ephesians chapter 2. We looked at the verses 11 through 22. And I had the wall of separation and scared some of you half to death. And my wife was wanting me to break it in half. And I think it would have, or kick it. And I'm like, I think Wanda would have had a heart attack had I kicked it, because she already jumped quite a bit. But we talked about how last week how the Jews and the Gentiles, you know, they hated each other. They did not like each other as people or spiritually. And yet Jesus Christ came and he said, hey, listen, guys, I know you're divided. You don't like that other group and they don't like you. But in Jesus Christ, I knocked that wall down. Some of you have walls in your life. Jesus needs to knock them down. Because he never created us to be our own people. We can't say that. We're one body in Christ. Christ is the head. But in this passage of Scripture, it's kind of cool because I want you to see it. It's not easy passage because Paul's kind of like my wife says that I am. I get started talking about something and then I can go off on a tangent after about 1 second that has nothing to do with what I started. Have you ever noticed that? I try not to do that on Sunday morning, but I can be talking with you and then all of a sudden I think of something. So I think if I don't share it right now and get it out of my system, I'll forget it. And my wife's like, well, we were on something else. But here's, I want you to look at it. In my translation, in verse 1, Paul begins to pray. He's starting to pray and he says, when I think of all this, and then he just gets carried away until verse 13. All the way is one sentence, verse 2 through 13 is one sentence. He started off with a prayer, gets totally sidetracked. And in those verses, he's going to talk about what we talked about last week about being one in Christ. And if you'll look at verse 14 picks up with, when I think of all this, just like it says in verse 1, I fall to my knees and pray. So he gets to the prayer after those other verses get out of the way. But I think Paul just got so caught up in what Jesus Christ does, that Jesus Christ makes us one with each other, that Jesus Christ gets rid of labels. He gets rid of those things that separate us. And in Jesus Christ, we become one, not two. And in this passage, you see Paul, he's kind of saying, hey, listen, I'm a Jew, I'm a Pharisee. And yet God called me to take the good news of Jesus Christ to these Gentiles. And his life mission was to do that. So look, beginning at verse 1, he says, when I think of all this, I, Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus. Now, he's in jail when he writes this letter. But he didn't say, I'm a prisoner of the Romans. He didn't say, I'm a prisoner of the Jews. He went to jail because that he had been accused of bringing a Jewish Ephesian Christian into the temple. Trophimus was his name. And they accused him of doing that, which was an offense if you were a Gentile. The truth was he wasn't a Gentile, but you know how rumors are. And so they put him in jail. But yet what I love about verse 1 is he didn't see himself as a prisoner of the Romans. He did not see himself as a prisoner of the Jews. Who did he see himself a prisoner of? Jesus Christ. And then he says, assuming, by the way, that you know that God gave me this special responsibility. I love that. Special responsibility of extending his grace to you Gentiles. He said, God gave me this special responsibility to share this good news with you Gentiles. Which is who you are. You're a Gentile. Now, there may be someone who is Jewish. I don't know of anyone, and it doesn't, not that I can identify them, but doesn't, I've never had someone come up and say, I'm a Jewish Christian. But we're Gentiles. And so Paul had this incredible mission of sharing God's grace with the Gentiles. He says, as I briefly wrote earlier, God himself revealed this mysterious plan to me. As you read what I have written, you will understand my insight into this plan regarding Christ. God did not reveal it to the previous generations, but now by his Spirit, he has revealed it to his holy apostles and prophets. Then look at verse 6. And this is God's plan. Both Gentile and Jews who believe in the good news. See, I think too many churches have made the good news bad news. Our focus is hell, which it never should be on hell. It should always be on Jesus, because that is the good news. That is the gospel. When Jesus talked about hell to his disciples, it was to his disciples. And so he says, God's plan, both Gentiles and Jews who believe in the good news, share equally in the riches inherited by God's children. Both are part of the same body, and both enjoy the promise of blessings because they belong to Christ Jesus. By God's grace and mighty power, I have been given the privilege of serving Him by spreading this good news. Though I am the least deserving of all God's people, He graciously gave me the privilege of telling the Gentiles, I love this, about the endless treasures available to them in Christ. I was chosen to explain to everyone this mysterious plan that God, the Creator of all things, had kept secret from the beginning. God's purpose in all this was to use the church. Did you get that? Use the church to display His wisdom. You see, when people look at the church, they ought to scratch their head and say, I don't understand this. You know, they're different. Some have money, some don't have money. Some believe this. And how can a group that is so diverse be one? Well, the answer is Jesus, the dividing wall. Listen, church is never intended to be a place where everybody is in 100% agreement about non-essentials. But we are to be in agreement about the essential, which is that Jesus Christ is the only way to save us. God's purpose in all this was to use the church to display His wisdom and its rich variety to all the unseen rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. This was His eternal plan, which He carried out, how? Through Christ Jesus our Lord. Because of Christ and our faith in Him, we can now boldly and confidently, we can now come boldly and confidently into God's presence. So please don't lose heart because of my trials. I am suffering for you, so you should feel honored. I love that passage, and there are some things we can take from it. First of all, this is so important. If you're going to reach one more, it's only going to be because you're committed to reaching one more. Listen, there were many other Germans who had the opportunity during World War II to help and save lives. But guess what? They didn't choose to. They weren't committed to. Schindler, who was not a, he may have been a Roman Catholic. I don't know his relationship with God. That's between him and God. He struggled with alcoholism. He had a lot of physical issues. But one thing we do know is he wanted to save Jewish lives. And it cost him money. He looked at the car and he said, Goebbels would give me 10. This would be 10 prisoners. And Goebbels was one of the meanest people in Germany. And you know, he could have been executed at any time for what he was doing. But the thing I want you to see that we must be committed to reaching one more. And if you're committed to reaching people for Jesus Christ, it's going to cost you something. It's going to cost you time. You have to be. Paul was willing to go to prison to share the gospel. See, Paul did not see prison as punishment for the way he was living. He saw it as an opportunity to share the good news of Jesus Christ. He didn't see himself as a prisoner of the Jewish people. He didn't see himself as a prisoner of the Romans. He saw himself as a prisoner of Jesus Christ, which meant that he understood that as he served God and did what he was supposed to do, it would cost him something. And I love that mentality. That I'm willing. Would you be willing to go to jail to serve Jesus Christ? Would you? Would you really be willing? Could you go to jail and come out and go, you know, I'm here as a prisoner of Jesus Christ and not be bitter about it? What I love about Paul had this dying desire to reach the Gentiles with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And he just didn't have that desire. He was committed to it. Verse 13, he kind of encourages them. He says, so do not lose heart because of my trials. I am suffering for you, so you should feel honored. Listen, as the church, we need to sacrifice to reach one more. You know, we're planning Pig Fest. I want you to get excited about Pig Fest 2020. You say, what in the world's Pig Fest 2020? It's all right to laugh a little bit. We're just trying to find a way to reach our community and to say we love you and we care about you. And so on the hill, on April 4th, it's a Saturday from 3 to 8, Sam is going to roast three pigs. I don't know how he's going to do it. If it's going to be on a little spiff thing, I don't know. South Carolina people, they know how to do all that. But we're going to have pig. And we're trying to get little pigs to have a pig chasing contest or whatever you do with pigs. We're going to have a pig calling. Some of y'all love to call the hogs. Well, your opportunity to call the hogs will be there. I mean, you say, Bill, that sounds like a lot of fun and crazy. That's what we want it to be. We'll have two groups singing. We'll have food. I'm just going to let you know it's going to cost us some money. What do you just spend your money on good people? You know, us, which we're not very good. We're going to have Pig Fest 2020 right out there, and we're going to invite our community, and we expect you to be there and to smile and greet people, because guess what? You're the church. And you don't go, well, that's what those crazy church people plan. I'm not going to be a part of that. Now, what are we going to do to reach people? And they already think we're mean, and every time they walk into a church, the sermon becomes about hell. I want them to know this. God loves them. So much that He died on a cross for them. See, too much of the church is about God doesn't like you. No, 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 no. He loves you. He loves you to the point that He died for you. And so, we've got to be committed. That's the first thing. And then the second thing I want you to see in verse 6 is God's plan is to reach one more. It's always been God's plan to reach one more person. Because every person you don't reach with the gospel of Jesus Christ, once they die, it's over. You have one chance. You have one opportunity in many cases. And in verse 6, he says, and this is God's plan. Both Gentiles and Jews who believe in the good news share equally in the riches inherited. You know, that in the early days, the Jews and the Gentiles would not share. But here we see that they share in the riches. They are fellow heirs, which means they're part of the same family. When you accept Jesus Christ, regardless of your past, regardless of your mistakes, regardless of what you've done wrong or done right, under Jesus Christ, we become one. We become family. And we are all entitled to the same inheritance. God's plan has always been to reach one more. He says both are part of the same body. You see, we're made up of Republicans, Democrats. I mean, we're made up of everything in Christ. That's biblical. And we need to understand that's one body. You can't say this part of the body doesn't belong if they know Christ. You don't have to agree with them. But you're one in Christ, one body. And then he also says, and we enjoy the promise of blessings, that we have the same blessings that the Jews were going to have. We have the same blessings because we're what? In Christ. You see, it's always been God's plans for us to be on the same team, to be one body, to be fellow heirs, to enjoy the same blessings when we know Jesus Christ. It's the key. The good news. It's not about being a Baptist. It's not about being an American. The only thing that makes you one and gives you eternal life and gives you all the stuff that you need is Jesus Christ. You either have Him or you don't have Him. But as the church, we must always be seeking to help other people know the good news. Third thing, the church is responsible to reach one more. First Baptist Mount Ida must always try to reach one more. It's just biblical. And you see in verse 2, he says, assuming, by the way, you know God gave me this special responsibility. You know what the special responsibility was? It was to share the good news. I mean, Paul was totally caught up in this sharing the good news. In verse 7, it says, by God's grace and mighty power, I have been given the privilege of serving Him by spreading the gospel. Every single person who's in this room, who is a believer in Jesus Christ, is called to spread the gospel, to be a servant. How do we get into our minds that our responsibility is to go to church? No, it's like the kids. It's to find one more. It's to share with one more the good news of Jesus Christ. Verse 8, it says, He graciously gave me the privilege of telling the Gentiles about the endless treasures available to them in Christ. Listen, I want people to know that being a Christian is not about not going to hell and just going to heaven. It's a privilege to know Jesus on a daily basis. It's a privilege to have a relationship with Him. It's not a... Listen, the privilege of just attending church is very small compared to the daily privilege of being able to talk with the God who created you. We have this special privilege to do that. To tell people, say, oh, I don't like to tell. Tell people your story. You may not understand a lot of stuff, but you should be able to tell someone your story about how God loved you and how God died for you and how God changed your life. When was the last time you told anybody your story? When was the last time you shared the good news? Look at verse 9. Paul said, I was chosen to explain to anyone. Verse 10, God's purpose in all this was to use the church. Listen, it's always God's plan to try to reach one more. When we quit trying to reach one more, we go backwards. Death happens. We could lose 3 people this weekend in church because of death. And the only way to beat death is through a relationship with Jesus Christ. It does matter if one more person that you work with, it does matter if your kids or grandkids know the good news of Jesus Christ. It matters for eternity in some cases. But it's all through Jesus Christ. Jesus is the good news, and that Jesus makes us one, and we're responsible as the church to try to reach one more. Now, here's what troubles me. I'm going to be honest. Many of us know more about Razorback football and basketball than we do about the gospel. We can talk about our job. We can talk about the stuff in our world and what we... And yet we know nothing when it comes to our family and our loved ones about the good news of Jesus Christ. That bothers me. Listen, my little grandson Liam has already occupied a place in my prayer journal. And I'm praying for 2 things right now for him. I'm praying for his salvation, and I'm praying for his future spouse. And I'm going to do everything as his grandfather to be the one to share the good news of Jesus Christ with him. I will try to beat my son because it's that important to me. Now, my prayer is my son will share it before I do. And his mama, and I think they will. That's how important it is. Listen, I'm not a good granddad if I can play with him and I can't share the gospel. Nothing else matters. Listen, I can provide for my family. I can work hard and do all. If I can't share the good news of Jesus Christ, I'm a failure as a Christian when it comes to my own family. That's pretty tough, but it's honest. If you can't give your kids the good news of Jesus Christ, That's the greatest thing. When you lead a kid, when you share with your own family the good news of Jesus Christ, there is no better feeling than when they're ready to accept it. You see, we need to understand that one more does matter, and it especially matters with our families and our friends and the people we work with. Just one more. Those people that you work with are people who God has put in your way to live a life, but also to get the opportunity to share the good news. Just one more. Just one more. And really the reason is the fourth thing, everyone can have access into God's presence through Christ Jesus. You see, when Paul wrote this, when he was the Jewish people, there was only one person who got to go into the presence of God. And guess who that was? It was the high priest. And he only got to go one time a year on Yom Kippur. He got to go into the Holy of Holies. And a Gentile couldn't even get near the temple. But did you see what Paul said in verse 12? He says, because of Christ and our faith in Him, we can now come boldly and confidently into God's presence. You see, Jesus knocks down the barriers. He knocks down the dividing walls. And when you know Him, you have all of Him. I don't need a priest. I don't need to go talk to a priest about my sins, because He has made me a priest where I can go into His presence. Isn't that good? I don't think a lot of Baptists understand that, but the truth is, because you have a relationship with Jesus Christ, He makes you a high priest, and you don't have to go talk to someone else to talk to Him. You just go in and talk to Him. Why? Because of Jesus Christ. Just one more. The last thing on your bulletin, if you'll notice, and I want you to do this, I pray that you will do this, is it asks the simple question, who's your one? Who's that one more person that you're praying for? Who is that one more person that you're asking God to give you the opportunity to share the good news with? Who's your one? Is it a family member? Is it a neighbor? Is it a co-worker? Who's your one? Think about it. And I double dog dare you to put down their name. And then make it your goal that God will give you the opportunity to share the good news with. Who's your one? Churches, it's about reaching one more. The reason we have extra seats in here is for one more person. And the way we reach them is through sharing the good news of Jesus. That's God's plan. It's always been that. It always will be. It's not about baptism. It's not about saying a prayer. It's about helping people put their faith in Jesus Christ who died for them. That's the good news, not bad news. Let's pray. Father, our most important mission as the church is just to reach one more. It's to tell one more about the saving power of Jesus Christ. It's not about being a Baptist. It's about knowing You. I pray for every parent and grandparent that has children who doesn't know You, that their biggest goal, their name may be that child or that grandchild who doesn't know You. And I pray that You would give them the opportunity, the privilege to explain to them how much You love them. It's good news, not bad news. I pray as a church that every time we meet with children, youth, or adults, that our heartbeat is one more. Just give us one more, Lord. You know, Schindler talked about all the money he wasted. And Lord, so many times as the church, we waste money on things that aren't important instead of trying to reach one more. One more. Give us a name. And then give us the courage to reach out. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'm going to ask you.